Every town has a dark side. This is Andrew Fitzgerald from the Every Town podcast, where every single week we dive into insane and mysterious true crime stories, most of which you've never heard of. Stories like the bizarre disappearance of Tyler Davis in Columbus, Ohio, a 29-year-old father trying to find his way back to his hotel when he disappeared and was never heard from again, and Elizabeth Schoaf from Lugoff, South Carolina, who was abducted from her driveway by a madman and taken to his underground bunker in the woods. We give you all the details you're interested in hearing about without any fluff or fillers, because ain't nobody got time for that. We cover everything from psychopaths to poltergeists, so go check out the Every Town podcast, because every town, no matter how nice it may seem, has a dark side.
This episode of The Horror Show is brought to you by Natalie Robles, Matt Berry. Can you believe that? Fantasy football guru subscribing to our show. And then this is another big celebrity subscribing. Morrissey. Brian Morrissey. He's just crying.
Yeah, being sad.
And getting pissed when people eat meat. Super fucking mad. And of course, brought to you by HelloFresh. For $30 off your first week of HelloFresh, visit HelloFresh.com and enter promo code HORRORSHOW30. All right, guys, this week we are doing Terror Vision, and following that is Basket Case 2. Two little slimy blobs blobbing around. And if you ever wanted to hear Fred Jones say, "Look at those hooters," in the Fred Jones voice from Scooby-Doo, you found the right movie.
Who?
So, Fred from Scooby-Doo.
Fred Jones? Wait, hold on. His last name was Jones in the show?
Yeah.
Nobody knows that. That guy's the voice of Fred Jones?
Yeah.
Oh, he's actually did the Scooby-Doo voice?
Yeah. The OG.
Wow. Who gives a shit? Well, Fred Jones sucks.
If you want to hear Fred go, "Look at those hooters," then this is the movie for you.
I'm actually impressed. I would never pick Fred's voice out of anything.
Oh my God, are you serious? I knew it as soon as I heard him. I was like, wait, that's that fucking fucking Welker fellow. Frank Welker.
That's his name in the show?
That's his name in real
life. I mean, in real life?
Yes.
You know way too much about this guy.
Dude, he did the voice of like everyone. All right, we need to start the show, guys. So enjoy.
I was thinking about the adventures of Ash, about the misfortune of sending kids to Crystal Lake. Became addicted straight away with the initial tape. God bless Betamax. VHS, holy like Amanda Kruger. I was introduced to genre flicks by Toby Hooper. I started craving more just like Larry the Looter. I collected VHS without commentary or bloopers. Store computers, magazines, a bunch of stores. Spent my money on movies and begged my mom for more. I'd watch the boys kill those Astro bastards 5 times a day or even more. I loved the gore. Lionel and Paquita combined their lonely hearts. I was hellbound, Cenobites tore my soul apart. I've seen them all, from Dracula to Vertigo. Listen up, welcome to The Horror Show with Sean and Joe.
Hello everybody and welcome to The Horror Show. Show dissects, mutilates, dismembers, and butchers all of your favorite and not so favorite horror movies and other horror related events. I'm Sean.
I'm Joe.
And this is Medusa's Midnight Horrorthon. You know, I'm not a fan of people throwing the word horror into other words. I don't like it. Horrorthon. I'm just saying. Anyway, hey, how you doing?
You're on a roll of bamboozling me at the start of the show lately.
I just don't give a shit anymore. So we're doing Terror Vision this week, brought to you by Armando Moran. Me and Joe are watching. We haven't done this in a while. Watch the movie while we talk.
Yeah, we're in a different setting tonight.
Oh, yeah, we're in my house. So hopefully it comes out all right. And if you hear a banshee in the background,
a legitimate banshee.
Like a real banshee.
Just screaming. We should probably alert the authorities.
Yeah, I should have checked on my son first. Well, whatever. He's quiet. So I don't give a shit. Worry about it after. So this is brought to you by Armando Moran. This is a movie I've wanted to check out for a while.
I did too.
Never got a chance to. They made the cover art before the movie was made.
Really?
Yeah. So that probably explains why the cover art is just kind of, I mean, the cover art was enticing, but just
like
never, not enticing enough for me to ever just like seek it out.
Okay.
Like, you know what I mean? Like the Bad Taste cover art. Like I was like, I need to see that
sure.
shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
This was like, I'll get to it, but it looks interesting.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think I appreciate the cover art more now as like a retro thing than when we were kids.
Agreed.
Like it wasn't that appealing.
Yeah. So this was made in 1986, directed by Ted Nicolou. And of course, produced by the bands who just produced fucking everything in 1980.
Dude, so I enjoyed this movie. I actually really enjoyed it.
Yeah, same.
I almost turned it off after the first 5 minutes. I was like, you have to be fucking kidding me.
Wait, I think I wrote that I almost turned it off 32 seconds. Oh, I'm close to turning this off in 30 seconds. Because, dude, the beginning when... It's a close-up. It opens up to a close-up of, like, a model planet. Like, honestly, it was like the MST3K opening.
Yes, like it was.
Toys. And it said, Planet Pluton, Sanitation Department, Mutant Creation Disposal Unit. And I was like, turn this shit off.
And then it, like, blasts a big piece of shit Muppet in the space. And it's, like, pinging off a bunch of moons. And I was like, if this is like this, I'm not doing it. So, and it goes into the Terrorvision song, which was catchy,
but also still. Well, first of all, how the fuck did they afford their own fucking theme song?
Well, that band
is that a is, wait? Is that the Terrorvision band?
No, not the band Terrorvision. These guys are called the Fibonacci's.
Okay,
I can't imagine they didn't make it.
Yeah, I can. Yeah,
but I think they did the whole soundtrack, so they were trying to like make a name for themselves.
So, you know, it's like
the hustle is real.
Kendrick Lamar doing the score for Black Panther, the Fibonacci's doing Terror.
I don't think it's like that.
So Big Teddy, Ted Nicolou, he didn't do a whole lot. He did this movie called Dungeon Master. Mm. The Dungeon Master, which was also a band movie. And I guess it was like trying to cash in on the whole Tron thing with Disney. It was very similar to that, I suppose. Can you guess how many directors there were to the Dungeon Master, including Ted?
To that one movie?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I'm going to say, four.
That's actually what I thought you'd guess, because that's a very high number. It was 7.
Okay. My original thought was 6. I was like, that can't be possible.
7 fucking directors. I'm not even going to list them because I don't know who they are. Besides, Charles Band was one. This guy also did Bad Channels, which is part of that whole Doll Man versus the Demonic Toys situation. Like, they're just all mixed together. And then in 2004, he did Puppet Master versus Demonic Toys, which I didn't know existed, especially in 2004, and it's non-canon and stars Corey Feldman. So
it's non-canon.
Who gives a shit?
The fact that Puppet Master has to be canon is absurd.
The fact that you have to like be like, oh, this is not, this is excluded.
Like it's a fucking Star Wars movie.
Yeah. Like there's gonna be any debate. Like who gives a shit?
And no
Where does
one
this
notice.
Fit into the timeline? It's so stupid. Dude, I couldn't believe that they included that in the Wikipedia.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. We got Diane Franklin in this flick, the French girl from Better Off Dead. Okay. She was also in Amityville 2. She was
she the sister?
She was raped.
Jeez.
Which isn't funny. It's only funny because that movie is insane. And some guy got really mad that we didn't like it. Really fucking mad. Because we only like big budget flicks. Dude, the only movies we've liked in like the last year have been like the shittiest
like
of the shitty. Yeah, dude, Terrorvision I fucking love. I fucking love it. Yeah, Fred Wilker, Fred from Scooby-Doo. Frank Wilker, who's Fred from Scooby-Doo. He also played Jabberjaw and shit. He did like everyone. That's what
Jabberjaw?
I was going to get to. Yeah, the big shark. It's like, whoa, whoa, whoa,
whoa, whoa. In what?
Jabberjaw. Jabberjaw is a cartoon from the 70s.
I've never watched that.
You need to get on your Hanna-Barbera.
Oh, it's a Hanna-Barbera?
Yeah.
Did she do Huckleberry Hound?
He?
No, Hanna-Barbera. Is that not a woman?
I think it's
two guys' names.
Two men's names.
You're right.
Yeah, And that's all I've got for factoids on this.
Oh, do you know who OD was?
I got his name, but I didn't know. Like, I don't know why. I was just like, fuck that guy. No.
He's fucking Uncle Rico from Napoleon Dynamite.
Oh my God. Get the fuck out of here. That's so funny.
He's also apparently in every movie ever.
Dude, a lot of these guys, I looked them up and they were in like 8 movies a year. And I was like, get the fuck out of here.
The dad, Mr. Putterman, he's also a bit who? A character actor, but Used Cars with Kurt Russell. He's one of the main characters.
Oh, dude, that movie fucking rules.
Yeah, we just watched it recently. That's why I was like, I know this guy from somewhere.
I wanted to. Yeah, that guy is Stanley, who is Garrett Graham and wrote songs with Bob Weir.
Oh, that's who you were saying.
Yes.
Wrote that. Okay, for you heard it again?
They were fighting.
What, animals? Like,
yeah.
I'm going to go yell at them.
No.
Don't shut the fuck up. Trying to record.
No. I mean, I could have easily ignored it. The show would have gone out as normal.
I did not. Well, it doesn't matter because I was about to admit something super embarrassing to you.
What?
That you told me that guy wrote for Bob Weir, mm-hmm. and I was completely like blown away because mm-hmm. I thought you meant the other guy, but now that you mean Graham, I actually knew that. I just forgot I knew that.
I just think that's super interesting, even though I fucking hate the Grateful Dead so much.
Well, maybe he wrote for Rat Dog, Bob Weir's other band.
I hate them all. Wait, which is the one that I saw in New York City with a couple knuckleheads?
That's not Grateful Dead related, but it was Government Mule.
Oh my God, what a fucking nightmare. I can't believe I fucking did that. And I think I did it because a lot of people didn't go, and I'm pretty sure.
Including me.
I'm pretty sure one of our friends that has like a soft spot for everyone except you and I was like, come on, man, like just like no one's going. And I was like, sure, man, I'll go. And it was a fucking nightmare. Did snooze. Dude, I've never seen it. Was at this theater in New York City, like a really nice theater and like a legitimate theater, like fucking seats and shit.
Yeah.
And like, you know, when you're like so bored, like when you're a kid and you go to like. Your parents take you to like, I don't even know, like
the
a fucking play or something. And you get so fucking bored, you want to almost cry. Like, that, dude, that's how I was at that concert. Like, legitimately, I've never been that bored. So bored that I was like, hey, guys, I'm just going to go fucking walk around the building and just like see what's happening. And I've never seen so many people on drugs dying, like laying down. Like, probably just, like, acid, like, having weird trips and shit. And, like, bottles of water being poured on them. And they're just like, like, dude, like, a dozen. I was like, this is a fucking weird shit, man. Like, this is really fucking weird. But, yeah, that was a show. That was a concert, I guess. If you want to call it that. But why don't we talk about this fucking movie?
So you never saw The Grateful Dead?
No, I never. Why would I have seen The Grateful Dead?
Well, I mean, I used to go to the shows all the time.
Oh, they still toured? They were like.
Well, I just like went for the party.
Lynyrd Skynyrd, just one guy.
No, because there's all of them.
Oh, really?
Except for Jerry.
Well, yeah, he's dead.
Yeah.
Lost his finger.
that he did. That's not why he died, though.
a very long reaction to losing his finger at like 16. Six, yeah. That's so funny. You know what I hated about that story about him losing his finger is I did a biography on him in like elementary school or some shit. And he always claimed it was he made it seem like it was a badass reason he lost it, but like it was always shrouded in mystery.
Wasn't it just like caught in like a ladder?
Yeah. But in these books it was like he was part of the Hell's Angels, so some people I was like, I doubt this guy was part of the Hell's Angels. He looks like a fucking idiot. He looks like a moron. I've never met a pudgier little fart face.
Well, I think you're thinking of him as like 60 years old with his big gray bushy beard.
I am.
I don't think he always looked like that.
I am 100%. Yeah, well, whatever. Well, anyway, Terror Vision.
Yeah.
No Jerry Garcia here, but the guy that wrote for Bob Weir, so. But wait, why is he writing for Bob Weir? Why, did Jerry Garcia not write the words to that?
No, he did.
But this guy just wrote for Bob Weir?
I mean, this is your factoid. I'm not sure.
Maybe he wrote for Bob Weir after. That's probably...
Right, that's what I'm saying. Maybe he wrote for Rat Dog.
Oh, God. Dude, imagine. No wonder he's in these
movies. We're talking too much off topic about music, but I wanted to bring up, I brought up, did you ever see The Grateful Dead? And I like The Grateful Dead's music. Mm-hmm. I actually think they're like nice, easy listening, but when you see them in concert, they do this thing called space. And it's honestly like 20 minutes of just them hitting like chimes and like
it's my nightmare.
Cymbals. It's and like everyone's like, yeah, I'm like, this is way too long. I want to fucking kill myself.
Wait, don't you have a story about your cousin smashing a Grateful Dead CD?
No, it was Fish. Oh. It was Fish. I can't believe you remember that.
Dude, it's like one of my favorite stories.
We went up to Boston. I mean, we partied very, very hard, but we both had to get back in the morning. So we left like super early and he was so hungover and he was like super into jam band music. And jam band music is relaxing.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
the other tapes, like I brought, I had like shit. Cannibal Corpse with me and stuff. So we put on the Fish album and it was a live, one of their live ones. And it was at a song and like for like 5 minutes, it was just like, like making noises with their guitars, and you just hit the eject button and threw it out the window on the highway.
It's like my favorite story ever. Because even though he's a jam band fan, I just like to imagine anyone that hates jam bands doing that, because that's legit. I would smash every jam.
Dude, it was so sweet. Even like no warning, he was going to do that. And he's like, I can't fucking do it. Like, he could have just took it out. Like, he just
throwing the pause out the window. And I bet you anything, he regretted it later. Like, I bet you later.
Of course he did.
He was like, God damn it. Of course. All right. So TerraVision opens up, like we said, with that model fucking beams bouncing back and forth. Shit like that. Their own theme song. And we meet Stanley. Stanley, who's the dad? Stanley Peterman. He's fixing his satellite. And this, could this be the most 80s movie? It's in the category
of most 80s?
Yeah. I mean, the daughter is dressed like Cyndi Lauper, like yep. To a T. The granddad.
You got the punks.
You got the dad. You got the aerobics outfits with the mom.
It does have everything, but I feel like they're doing that on purpose.
Yeah, because it's 86, so I don't think it was. It not quite tongue in cheek, but like definitely over the top.
It was self aware.
Like the grandpa definitely has like a Captain Lou vibe at the beginning. He's wearing like all of his medals and shit, just dressed like a fucking idiot. I fucking love it. Dude,
the acting in this is abysmal. Like some of the worst acting ever, but it works
somehow. It's so weird, and it's because it's self aware. I think
I wish. It's not like, so like, I don't want to give it too much credit. Right. That's what I mean.
It's not Scream.
Yes, exactly.
But it kind of understands that it knows
what it is.
Corny movie. Yeah.
Yeah. Like they wanted to make a corny movie.
Yeah. It's weird. It's super weird. Cause you're right. It's like not super self-aware. Like they're not like, this is a take on 80s movies.
If all band movies were like this, I would love them.
Oh my God. They wouldn't be bad movies. I think good movies would be bad movies if all band movies were like this.
Band productions.
Oh, if band movies were like this. Yeah. They'd be
like, if
they'd
have a lot more, was like this, they'd have a lot more money. So much more.
They'd have a lot more fucking money.
Yeah, they would. Well, did this do well? It couldn't have.
I don't know. I don't think so. There was no. I saw the budget, but
I have the box office numbers right.
Oh, you do.
What was the budget?
I think it was $5 million.
Okay, it made $320,000.
Wait, let me just confirm that budget, because that is really bad if that's the case. I'm almost positive it was.
This holds a 0% on Rotten Tomatoes.
That's stupid. Oh. No, this wasn't the one with the budget I saw. So that budget's a lie. Sorry, everyone. Came out on Valentine's Day. Sure, cleaned up that night in the box office. Imagine taking your girlfriend to see this on Valentine's Day. She'd fucking be so mad. So we meet Stan, the father. He's setting up a satellite, which is very important to the story.
It is actually
definitely a weird vibe to this fucking movie. Just so fucking weird. The acting's terrible and the characters are just so ridiculous and over the top. And they're saying the corniest shit I've ever heard in my life. The shit that they say in this, no human's ever said naturally. No human. It is Bart Simpson from the early 90s to the millionth degree. Don't have a cow butthead, like shit like that. And Stan Peterman, the dad, is guilty as charged. Yeah. Like he is fucking terrible in this. We meet Grandpa, who is played by Frank Welker, the voice of Scooby-Doo. He's kind of, it doesn't really matter, but he's military, like ex-military maybe, but at the same time, a peace. He seems sort of like a hippie. Like he was saying he was canvassing the area, and he's canvassing is that we should be using reptile tails, lizard tails as a source of food.
He's out of his mind.
Source of food, because reptile tails grow back. So you never.
Is that what hippies do?
I don't think anyone does that.
Of course not.
Especially hippies. So it's really fucking weird.
Did you say what the kid was in? Is he in stuff?
Nah, I don't know. I don't give a shit. He looks like an idiot and he sucks.
Wow. All
right. I wasn't a fan of him. yeah. So, and we also meet this weirdo satellite repairman who kind of comes into play a little bit later. So, and he does nothing except just be an asshole. His name's Norton. But doesn't matter. The satellite catches the shot of lightning that we assume we saw earlier bouncing off of planets.
Yes.
And literally making ping pong noises, like ping, 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 as it does that, as it flies into outer space. It was something else, but it lands, hits the satellite on Earth, blows it up.
Yep.
Or no, actually, I'm sorry. It wasn't working before. That's why the repair guy was there. So Stan's like, you gotta repair this, you gotta repair this. The lightning hits it, and then it starts working. But it does blow it.
Oh, that's right. You know what? I assumed that it stopped working because of it, because there's also, like, goop in it.
How?
From
yes,
stuff.
Yes, correct.
You're right, though. That the guy's there first,
yeah,
fixing it.
It makes no sense. Dude, the lightning hits it and fries it, and then they're like, hey, the channels work.
Also, this guy is so bad at, like, using the remote control. I've never seen somebody worse at using
a
remote control.
Seen a remote control with a fucking ring?
Nobody's had a harder time with the remote control than Tina does.
Have you ever seen a remote control the size of this one? That also doubles as an explosive weapon later in the movie?
I want to say no, but I bet you in the 80s they were.
They probably were. You're totally right. It somehow fixes the whole thing. Stanley goes in and he says, this is going to open a whole new dimension in television pleasure. The word pleasure is thrown around a lot in this.
Well, this guy's a horn dog.
Everyone's horned up in this fucking movie. We'll find out. And he's showing off the channels, including the porno channel, which he's watching with his children. And then he looks at his dad and he's like, channel 69, pops.
Wow. He says pops?
Yeah.
I thought he said prob, like he didn't know what channel he was on.
I kind of like that joke better. Yeah, and he sits on that for an unreasonably long period of time. If my dad, like if my parents flicked on porn by accident, I think they would have just thrown the remote through the TV.
Oh, my dad would, this would 100% be what my dad would. Dude, my dad used to put on the Spanish channel because, like, they're scantily clad and we'd all have to just sit there and he'd be like, because my dad was doing that with me and my brother. We were like 4 years children. Old.
And it's like, you had access to pornography still. I mean, it wasn't as easy, but just get a magazine and go to your bedroom.
Right. Yeah.
And let the kids watch fucking Family Matters in peace. Yeah. Oh, we get a clip of Wasp.
We do.
That was fun.
They are giving Wasp props because somebody has a Wasp shirt.
Yeah,
OD has it.
Really weird. I don't understand that at all. And then, yeah, we meet that character, OD.
We meet him right now?
Yeah. And he's wearing a Wasp shirt also, which... his name
well Medusa comes on first.
Yeah,
it sets up that she's having the horror-a-thon.
Yes. And yeah, Medusa's mentioning the horror-a-thon
and the dad's like, we look at, or Fred says the Hooter line,
would you look at those Hooters? I mean, she had very large breasts.
They were incredible.
Like, there was a point, I'm not a breast guy, so it doesn't stand out. They usually don't stand out to me. I'm more into the butts, but not entering the butts like as we discussed in the previous episode. I'm not about entering them, it's just like the shape of them.
Okay.
Anyway, well, I guess you could, but I don't know what to tell you, Joe. My brain's wired that way. but yeah, they were very large, like to the point where
like what she's wearing is positioning them in such a way that nobody's ever had cleavage like
they
that.
Looked, yeah, they looked like it didn't look, it looked like a prop almost because they were just so insanely large. Like I was like, what? Yeah. What is this? And then we meet OD. OD.
Uncle Rico.
Uncle Rico. OD is here. He's my new boyfriend. And this joke made me laugh way too hard. The Ted goes, oh, an Irish boy? OD.
OD, that is a good joke.
So stupid, and I loved it. And OD is wearing, OD walks in, doing the 80s punk thing, but not punk. He's a metalhead, as we'll learn, because he's very, very into the metal. But he's wearing like a fucking Rick James wig.
Yeah.
It's the fucking weirdest wig to choose for a punk or metalhead, period. Well,
and his accent that he uses is also weird.
I'm thinking that's...
Whoa, man. Like, he's talking like Spicoli from Fast Times.
It makes no sense. It's one of the worst things. Also, he's either a mouth breather, or he really got into character and decided to make this guy a mouth breather because his mouth is open the entire
time. It's always open, yeah.
And I don't know if that's part of his character.
Also, I love this character. He's so fucking funny.
Yeah, he really is. I mean,
dude, as soon as we meet him, she's like, my parents really want to meet you. And he's like, oh man, what a drag.
And then he meets him and he's like, hello,
he's so polite.
Pleasure to meet you. Yeah. He gave off the weirdest vibes. And then when he introduces himself to the grandfather, he's like, what do you want, old dude? It's like, whoa, you were just so nice. That was so weird. And he shits on the little kid later, too. And then we learn that the parents are going out swinging.
Yes.
That's happening.
Yeah. So on the wiki page, so I always like after we watch the movie, I go to the wiki page to see if there's any like tidbits or anything.
Yeah.
They had a hyperlink to swinging.
Yeah.
So I clicked on it. What a fucking rabbit hole I went down.
Yeah, swinging's fucking weird.
Yeah, but scene. Like when you go on the wiki, it has like all like the sub wiki like related wikis that you can click on.
Yeah.
Spent hours on it. Ended up on the fellatio page right when Tina came home. She's like, what are you looking at?
Stuff for the show.
Oh, this is picture.
Well, it's funny because I started looking up immediately. I was trying to think, and now I just remember the name of it. The fucking Pluto Club in New York City.
The Pluto Club?
Yeah. It was a famous, I'm so fucking, wait, is that even what it's called? No, I can't find it. So I thought it was called the Venus Club. So I was looking it up, but there was like a swingers club in New York City, kind of during the studio. What was that studio? 54. Period. There was like a rival club, but like Studio 54 was over the top, and this was just insane because this was legitimately just fucking people just fucking everywhere. So I thought it was called the Venus Club, so I was looking it up, but I found through booking.com, it's like Hello or like hotels.com,
yeah,
shit like that.
No, I know. Yeah.
They have swingers clubs listed there.
Sure.
Swingers resorts. I couldn't believe that.
When my ex-girlfriend's brother got married, the hotel that they stayed in was also having a swinger convention at the same night as the wedding. Yeah.
That's terrible.
It was wild.
Yeah. So I found this Venus Resort. And it says swingers only on their site. And I loved it because it said great for two travelers. And it said it's really highly rated for their mattresses for comfy beds.
Huh, that's
so
good.
It's a good place to look, but they will not let you in if you're solo. Which, by the way, why wouldn't you just go by yourself?
You're not allowed. No. It's against the rules. But then you wouldn't be a swinger.
Yeah, I guess you just fuck.
You'd be a fuck machine.
Well, I wanted to talk about Alice Cooper, but I think we've spent our allotted music.
Yeah. It's always next episode.
Yeah, but is there anyone that we can relate to? OD was going to be my link to Alice Cooper. Joe just saw Alice Cooper the other night.
I did, yeah.
So I wanted to talk about him, but I guess we'll figure it out. We'll crowbar it in somehow. We've done crazier. So the punk meets the little boy and he's like, hey, little dude, you in the metal? Kiss the boot. It was fucking abrasive. But Gramps and the kid, those two crazy kids go off for their date. The parents go off for their date. Gramps and kid are left alone. And immediately, a gross-ass alien appears on the TV.
It is very gross-looking.
The fucking grossest.
Also, so proper talking.
It's just very, very polite. Very polite, disgusting alien. And he seems like he's trapped in the TV. They fall asleep, though. And they wake up to an alien in the fucking room. Now, they
also a disgusting-looking alien.
They go and hide. And when they come back, it's gone. And the grandpa, the kid's like, that was a fucking monster. Grandpa's like, it's not a monster. Had to be a burglar. And then Norton shows up and he's like, hey.
Is that the repair guy?
Yeah. And he's like, hey, there's a burglar around here. You seen him? Wouldn't you just be like, oh, this is the guy we thought was the burglar? But yeah, so we have these three characters now.
Do we mention how much the grandpa loves guns?
The grandpa,
he is always strapped.
Always strapped. Got a big old case for it. Yeah, so Norton goes to go look at the satellite. That's why he was there, to repair the satellite, because it broke again or whatever. While Gramps and the kids go to look through the house, try and find this fucking burglar. But Gramps gets it.
He does. And his death is fantastic, yes. By the way.
It's amazing.
The alien's like claws grab him by the head. So I just thought it would either like pierce it or rip it off. But in typical 80s fashion, green goop starts coming off. And somehow he loses his feet and all of this.
Yeah, dude, that was the weirdest part is the weird piles of slime it leaves behind after it eats somebody.
Yeah, it's like street trash looking.
Very. It is body melt in a way. The body like falls apart. And the green goop, at first I was like, why does everyone have green blood?
I think it's coming from the alien.
It is. It's like acid from the alien. Yeah. But they don't really like get into that until late, the very last thing, where when a cop gets his hand stuck in it. And his
Oh, that's right. Yes.
And his hand starts melting.
I so, like that.
Oh, I loved it. But for a while I was like, why is this is weird. Like, but yeah, grandpa's dead. And he just smashes the fucking head, just crushes it with his pincers. Speaking of eating grandpa, this episode is brought to you by HelloFresh, the amazing meal delivery service. All ingredients come pre-measured in handy labeled meal kits, so you know which ingredients go with which recipe. And the bags are all recyclable, which I find incredible. HelloFresh offers a wide variety of chef-curated recipes that change weekly. Enjoy not having to plan dinner, spending money on takeout for an easy night, or worry about gathering ingredients week after week, which is a nightmare. You won't be spending all night in the kitchen either, because the recipes only take about a half hour. Feel confident when cooking HelloFresh with the simple recipes, the step-by-step directions, and the instruction cards. We had this recently. We did that orzo sausage recipe that was Mamma Mia Magnifique. So is that how you do Italian?
Sounded it.
So I think I'm fluent in Italian. And just for our listeners, $30 off your first week of HelloFresh. Visit HelloFresh.com and use the promo code HorrorShow30. You like this, right? Your wife loves this?
Big fans. Delicious, easy to make, comes with the recipe.
It's honestly perfect. Yeah. So can't express it enough. That's HelloFresh.com. Use the promo code HorrorShow30. It's $30 off. And it is just a perfect solution for families.
Yeah, I know some of our listeners have used the promo.
Tons of them.
See it on Snap.
Yeah. Did you see Jaren Walker?
Yeah.
I think I pronounced your name right. They love it. They post every week all the meals that they have and tag us in it. And it is amazing.
Saw Carly on Snap.
She's doing it too. Yeah. So thanks guys for supporting the show, and thanks for supporting HelloFresh, a wonderful sponsor of ours. So HelloFresh.com, promo code HorrorShow30. Now, let's get back to talking about a monster dog that eats people. the kid runs in, though, just in time to see the alien disappear. Yep. And grandpa's gone.
There's just like a pile of goop left just behind.
Bodily fluids everywhere. Speaking of bodily fluids, the swingers are back. They brought home some guests. Some very odd guests too. Two very odd characters that'll only get weirder.
Yep.
The kid runs up to the mom dead. Mom, grandpa, a monster. And I've never seen a mom more mad at a kid. Like the most angry.
And she's not really that concerned that the grandpa's nowhere to be found.
Not concerned at all. Well,
I do, but right before grandpa gets it, he's just pounding alcohol. Yeah. I think he's just drunk.
I mean, I don't think.
I'm sure he disappears quite often.
Grandpa's not home for Christmas regularly. Yeah. And the mom is furious and very disturbing. She hates this kid so much. She's like, you're going to take your fucking medicine, and I'm going to send you back to Dr. Silverman. And
Yeah, she's miserable.
It's not a pleasure.
I mean, she wants to get laid. That's why they're back at the house. But yeah, exactly,
you're gonna get it in. She Although needs, she's not gonna get it in, as it turns out.
No, they're not. But she didn't know that at the time.
And the mom even finds the melted granddad slime in the living room, and it's like, why did you do this? What the fuck?
It couldn't have smelled good.
No, it must have stunk. Must have fucking stunk. But the monster comes back into grandpa's room. We see that. And just in time for the mom to throw the kid in there. She says, if you're too big of a sissy to spend the night alone, you'll spend the night with grandpa. And then not only does she throw him in grandpa's room, which is a bomb shelter, like with a fucking vault fucking door, then she chains a padlock to it, which would also lock grandpa in there. Just a bad combination. And the reason she does that, though, is because they go to grandpa's door. Forgot to mention this part, and because he's like, grandpa's gone. She's like, all right, let's go look. They open grandpa's door, and the monster has grandpa's head on its tentacle and is using it as a fucking puppet. It's amazing.
Which we find out it can do after it kills you.
And use their voices. Yeah. And somehow have access to their memories and shit. So, I mean, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
But you know what? If there was an alien with like that kind of capabilities, our brains wouldn't be able to process stuff that it could do.
That's very true.
You know what? I believe it.
Okay, I'm fine with it. Even though it's a dog from another planet. A fucked up dog that they tried to exterminate.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. So, also, now the TVs are getting these incoming signals from outer space.
Yeah, he's like the guy from They Live that's like, it's not what it seems.
Hide your kids, hide your wife. He's telling him, he's telling the Earth, you got to destroy all your satellites and not turn them on for 200 Earth years.
But you know what? As goofy as this movie is, I actually really like that because there's no way we would ever do it. Like if there was an alien that came, it was like, I'm trying to save you guys.
Yeah,
like,
turn off your TVs.
There is no way we would do it. We'd be fucked.
No, everyone I know would be like, well, can't be that bad.
Or it won't happen to me.
Yeah.
I would do that.
Of course.
I would roll the dice.
Of course. But he's telling everyone to watch out. And the swingers are watching this video and they're thinking it's a real movie. And the guy's like, oh yeah, I think I've seen this. I think Martians come to Earth and take our women to breed them. And this foreign guy that they've picked up, what's his fucking name? Spiro.
Yeah.
Spiro is the horniest human being. Spiro rivals our friend Heafy.
Stop it.
Well, I guess that's true. I mean, Heafy is more nefarious, but Spiro just wants a good time. Spiro's just looking to fuck. Look at him. He's dancing. We're watching right now. He can't stop dancing. But Spiro is watching this movie, and the guy's telling him this plot. He's like, he says, wait, fantastic idea for a movie. Martians diddling the women of Earth. And I thought that was like the greatest thing of all time. Yeah. It's fucking awesome, man. So anyway, the group of swingers splits up. So we're going to start. You know, this movie is not trying to hide anything from you either. It's so obvious what's going to happen. Cause it's literally like Spiro and the wife are like, hey, let's go get margaritas. And then the guy's like, hey, I'm going to go get ready. And the girl's like, hey, I'm going to go in the pool. And you're like, well, we know who's dying right now.
Yep.
Or somebody's going to die. We don't know who's dying. Meanwhile, the kid is watching TV in his grandpa's room. That scene is fucking insane. Kid's watching TV in his grandpa's room. Medusa's asking for caller. So he calls in and
tells her what's happening.
And she's like, you're a fucking idiot.
Rightfully so.
And then she comes back on the air and she's like, I thought that. So she starts talking to the TV and she's like, I forget his name. What's the kid's name? Spencer? Spenny? I don't know. Stan? No, not Stan. I think it is Spencer. But she's like, come closer.
It's Sherman.
Come closer, Sherman. Come closer. And then he gets close to the TV, and then she puts a clip of a monster on. She's like, you little jerk. It's the most ridiculous thing ever. Meanwhile, back at the swinger's place, mom's laying it on thick to Spiro, like putting it on. Like she wants to get fucked by Spiro tonight. And Spiro's like, hey, I'm Greek. And she's like, oh, I love Greek men. He's like, which this joke is like so weird. He's like, no, you don't understand. I'm Greek. I like Greek culture. She's like, oh, yeah, me too. And he's like, I like to have sex with men. And she's like, what? I mean, that is an insane fucking, like, because that would just, that's so insane. That's just so fucking weird.
To just assume that he's into men because he's Greek?
Greek.
Yeah.
It's so fucking insane. It's so fucking insane. But that's what he says.
I'm actually surprised, like, you've heard that the Greeks are into anal?
Yeah.
But I work for this guy who would bring it up, like, 3 times a day. Like, oh, these fucking Greeks just love their butts. Okay?
I mean, I've heard it, but it's like, I think that was just, like, in the Roman, like, ancient Rome when they were into it. But I think it was just because they were just...
Wasn't everyone?
Right. Yeah, before everyone went to America and became uptight. It's like, no butt stuff here. Guys, missionary only. So Spiro goes to the pool where his lady's been hanging out, and this is where you realize Spiro doesn't give a fuck who he fucks. Oh well, also Spiro said that because Spiro wants to fuck Stanley,
right?
But then he goes to the pool, and the girl he came with is there, and he's like, "Ooh, yeah." He's like, "I'm gonna get me some of you." He's like, "Let's have a quickie before they get here." I was like, "Jesus Christ, this guy can't fucking wait." And he gets into the pool. The pool's smoking. And the girl, we only see the girl's head. And you immediately know she's the fucking alien. Because she's just like staring there with a glaze over her eyes. And he gets in the pool. And he's like, oh, what's in here? Algae? And he pulls up a fucking just a clump of the goo. And he's like, what is this? Sex lubricant? Imagine a pool full of sex
lubricant. Just a KY pool?
Granted, the guy kept calling it the pleasure dome, so I don't think I'd be surprised.
You know what? That's a good point.
He was like, welcome to the pleasure dome, which, by the way, is a door away from his family room. Fucking disgusting. Fucking weird. And he gets the pincers, too. He gets the fucking pinch. He's dead. Stanley gets pissed at the revelation that this guy wanted to fuck him. He's like, hey, Spiro, we gotta talk, buster. As if he couldn't just politely be like,
no thanks. No, yeah. not for
you,
me.
You clearly also like to fuck women, so why don't you just take my wife? Hey, and Sherman is also, or Stanley is the biggest pussy on earth in this movie. He is such a little bitch. So it doesn't even fit the character. This movie is so crazy. This movie is fucking crazy. Stanley and his wife, though, go to the pool area to talk to him. They look in. They're like, what the fuck is that? It's very clear that it's a fucking alien.
It's like real form.
Yeah. True form. Stanley is dead. Takes pinchers to the gut.
Yep.
Green shit falls out. And he is making the most insane faces and noises. It is like, and like his, like it is fucking crazy. Like it is fucking absurd. So Stanley's dead and the wife gets it also, I believe, or it's alluded to that she gets it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sherman keeps calling the cops though, cause he's locked in a fucking room and they're like, hey, that's it, buddy. You're in big fucking trouble now.
But all these movies we watch always have so many 911 calls, and the cops always be like, will you fucking leave us alone?
I'm fucking busy, and you keep, you know what? Now I'm going to arrest you. But they don't show up in enough time, so Sherman fucking rigs explosives and blows the door off the hinges. Grandpa's explosives.
Yeah.
Grandpa's armed and dangerous. Just in time for a fucking... The faces this guy makes when you see it. We're watching it. When you see him without the noise, it's so much funnier. It's so out of control. But the sister and OD show back up after their party. And they're super excited because this... they think this kid has pills. And OD's really happy about that. Very happy about that. So he's telling the brother and sister about the monsters, or the sister and OD about the monsters. She's like, all right, let's go find mom and dad. They open mom and dad's door, and the monster's doing the puppet show with four heads all in the bed, blankets up to their fucking chins. And the sister's like, gross. And they're like, and the monster is making the parents be like, yeah, we're having sex. Could you please leave us alone? And then the girl's like, where's grandpa? And then he pops up grandpa's head right in the middle. And he's like, taking care of business, honey.
So, brilliant.
So ridiculous. The monster ends up chasing them. After going around the house, the monster
appears. I don't know if you said this already, but the puppetry on the monster is pretty good.
Shockingly good. Yeah. The puppetry and the puppet itself for the monster, the way it looks, is really good. Yeah. Like, way too good, honestly. Just way, way, way too good. So the monster appears, starts going after the kids.
Yeah.
He's fucking pissed.
He's about to get OD.
He's about to get OD.
But OD is wearing like the old Kerry King, what do you call them?
Spiked.
What do you even call those?
Forearm pads.
Yeah, is that what they are?
I think there's a name for them.
Why was that a thing?
I don't know, because honestly.
Well, anyways, he's wearing the spiked forearm pads, and the monster stops and has a flashback.
Because he's way too long of a flashback.
Because he's a dog, and his owner used to wear the same, like, forearm pads. He's just, like, flashbacking to him, like, petting him.
Right. Studded forearm pads. And he's like, oh, my God, that was my owner. Very weird. And OD immediately was like, he likes my studs. He loves metal.
This dude's in the metal.
This dude's in the metal. You'd never call this thing a dude, ever. And then OD proceeds to be like, you know that movie about that little space guy? About that little space guy? You know, the one that made you cry like a little butthole? Dude, that line, I was like near tears laughing.
Describing E.T.
Describing E.T. and describing something as crying as a butthole. Just like, because I wasn't thinking of it as like crying like a butthole person. But I was literally thinking, like, this kid thinks buttholes cry. These butthole tears come out of buttholes.
He just has diarrhea all the time.
He's IBS. Cries like a little butthole. And if you thought that was funny, then it's even funnier when OD's like, hang on, and then pulls this fucking sausage out of his pocket. The most disgusting looking pale little sausage out of his pocket to feed the alien. And the alien's fond of them.
Yeah.
So they decide to start trying to teach it English.
Yeah.
And after 3 seconds, they're like, hey, I told you to say hello. Like, they're pissed when he can't speak English perfectly. Like, they're like, hello, hello. And he doesn't say anything. They're like, I said say hello. But the alien learns English.
It does.
Learns how to say food. Learns how to say music. We just get a montage of just nonsense with this fucking creature. They're teaching it how to eat. They're teaching it how to fucking listen to music.
Yep. Watch movies. Which, honestly, I think my favorite scene in this entire movie is when he's watching Earth versus Flying Saucer.
And laughing.
He's laughing so hard at it. Just like knocking down buildings.
It's Earth being destroyed. Flying Saucer.
It was like the Washington Monument. It just like knocks off the tip of it.
And he's laughing so hard. This alien is fucking gross, dude. The alien is so fucking gross. So the kids fight about who owns the monster because they want to make some money off of it. So they figure they'll call Medusa, try and sell the monster to Medusa. Medusa shows over. So the phone rings. Instead of just walking away, because it's not your job to answer it anymore, she picks up and is like, show's over, sucker. And they're like, wait, we have a monster. And for some reason, she's like, fine, I'll come take a look at it. Which is insane. And this kid, OD, just keeps saying the most ridiculous shit. Just keeps talking about buttholes nonstop.
I said, shut up, butthole.
Just nonstop. What a stupid butthole. Yeah. Do you tell somebody to stop being an impatient butthole? Well, the cops show up to arrest Sherman for being a stupid asshole like a day later. And the alien on TV shows back up and it pisses this garbage monster off so fucking bad. Pisses him off so bad. And the alien starts screaming. Like, but actually, it's not even that annoying. Right? Like, the noise it made really wasn't that bad us, the viewer.
Yeah.
But for some reason, OD is like, get this thing to shut up. And then screams, shut up, butthole, and punches it in the face. It's probably the rudest thing I've ever seen. And it's kind of a little chilling because this thing was a pet, and it has a lot of pet things. And even though it's a big, disgusting monster, I was like, come on, man. Why'd you punch the fucking dog? Like, why the fuck did you do that? The alien loses his shit, though, and he just starts going after him. Bites OD's fucking face off.
Yep.
It crushes it. Like, just fucking crushes it like a fucking can. Cop gets got, too.
Yep.
He gets the green slime, which acts as acid, which is really the when you finally realize, oh, that green shit is acid. So the cop's dead. So we only have the kid and, well, both kids, the daughter and the son, Sherman.
Yep.
Are the last living people. Dude, this is my favorite part of the, well, this is just my favorite concept of the movie. So.
The Putan alien.
Dude.
The one from the TV?
Yes, the one from the TV. They're about to kill the fucking... They're trying to sneak around to kill the alien. The alien's in the pool watching TV laughing. They sneak around. Sherman, though, accidentally makes a noise. Gets pissed off. They're about to get the kid. The kids are shooting it, fucking cutting it with a knife. But they finally derail it by throwing a remote control in the tub. And a nuclear bomb goes off when that happens. But then they run into the other room and the alien from the TV shows up, the other alien that was trying to save Earth. And it's like, hey guys, I'm Pluthar. I'm here to save you. This dude's name is Pluthar from Pluton. Fucking greatest name ever. And he explains to us that, you know, this thing's a pet. And sometimes pets mutate and then they have to fucking destroy them. And shoot them into outer space.
Yes.
A very good way of destroying the pet, he says, but sometimes this happens and then it's not so good. And then if you think that's bad, well, also this guy's like, well, also because they're like, he ate our parents. And he's like, oh shit, I'm in so much trouble. He ate earthlings. But he's like, but it's okay because when we capture him, we can take out the DNA and bring your parents back to life, but they just have to live in aquariums forever. And while this is happening, fucking Medusa shows up.
Yep.
From behind and is like, oh, like she must think that this is the fucking creature.
Which she does.
Right.
Because then she kills it.
She takes a fucking, I don't even know, like some type of weapon and bashes the fucking helmet.
Because he's wearing a,
he's wearing a fucking space suit. Yeah. Which is great, honestly.
Because he can't breathe on Earth.
Yeah. I like it. So she cracks the helmet and his fucking head explodes in the case, ruining any chance of survival that these people have.
Yes.
And I fucking loved it.
And they point that out to her.
Yeah, they're like, you're a piece of shit, Medusa. Right. It's great. And she's like, hey, right in the nick of time, huh? And then I'm like so on board with this movie. And then the most abrupt ending of all time happens. The monster.
It gets them.
It starts doing. The monster can inhale.
Yeah.
It's like a fucking, like a hurricane type gusts that suck these people into its mouth.
It just sucks all three of them in.
He sucks all three of them in. But like you don't see him go in and it just cuts.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, what happened?
Cuts to a limo.
To the guy outside still waiting for Medusa.
Medusa. Her chauffeur.
And Medusa, we see Medusa's head on a tentacle being like, drive me to the studio. And it's the monster.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well,
and but I mean, it cuts to the monster and it's disgusting. And then, yeah, and then it plays the Terrorvision song and it's over.
What a bleak ending.
Very bleak. And also, could have been even a little bit bleaker if they made a mention, you know, that going to the TV station could mean that he's going to broadcast himself anywhere.
Well, that is what it means.
Well, they could have been a little more clear about it.
Well, he said the guys on the assholes on the TV all the time. Oh, like, that's true. Destroy your TVs.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah. So what'd you think about it?
I liked it, man.
I liked it a lot.
I mean,
it's bad.
It's very bad. Movies like this are so hard to describe because the acting's bad, but there's a lot to enjoy about it.
There was almost to a point where it was kind of hard to talk about because it was so ridiculous. Oh. And it knew it was ridiculous.
Look at those boobs. Medusa's on the screen and that cannot unnatural. Be comfortable.
No, no. Like, she must have very bad back pain now. Can we talk to Medusa?
I just mean, like, that shirt. They're propping that up.
Oh, yeah. On purpose. Well, I'm sure that's uncomfortable. Yeah.
Can we talk to Medusa?
I'm sure she's not hard to find. Is she dead?
Jennifer Richards is her name. Yeah. She doesn't have her own wiki page.
Oh. Bummer. Well, that's it for Terrorvision. Next week, Basket Case
2.
We've never done Basket Case 1, have
we? No, we haven't. We've done 3.
How stupid. So, that's it for this episode. Rate, review, subscribe on iTunes if you want. I don't care. but actually do rate it because we've got some fucking buttholes on there lately. I mean, not a lot, though. I mean, it's still not a lot. Like, I think we still have like an average of 5-star, maybe. Right?
Yeah, sorry. I found Jennifer Richards.
Oh, cool.
Just looking at pictures.
For press. Yeah, just rate, review, subscribe. Just fucking, these fucking mutts on there. Fucking crying. These guys take us so fucking seriously. It's unbelievable. Could you imagine listening to this show and being like, these fucking guys don't know anything. Yeah, no shit. You fucking serious? You spent the first 15 minutes talking about fucking
Rat Dog,
Bob Weir and the Grateful Dead. Are you fucking kidding me?
You're going for it.
Pissing vinegar tonight. Yeah. All right, guys. So anyway, thanks for listening. Remember HelloFresh.com. Use the code HorrorShow30 and get $30 off your first order. And yeah, so next week, Basket Case 2.
Yes.
What'd you think of that? I guess we should talk about it on Basket Case too. But and that's it. You can find us on Facebook.com/IHateHorror, IHateHorror.com. I'm on Instagram and Snapchat at IHateHorror and barely on Twitter at IHateHorrorShow.
I'm at JoeV421, Boognish1985, and Horror Show Joe.
And that's it, guys. So thank you so much for listening. Thank you for all the support. We really do appreciate it. And that's it. Basket Case 2. For Joe, this is Sean. Stay weird.
Thank you.
Adios.
That's it, guys.